Sister Wives, it's Editing Shanae here. Just wanted to let you know that, listen, I'm barely here. I'm talking to you from my grave because of Muster. So at this point, Muster, the first one has happened. The second one has not happened. I'm not going to be able to create a podcast about both of the Musters in time for the podcast this week. I already did the podcast this week. If I would have known the cultural impact of this Muster, I would have changed my schedule. I did not. So enjoy this podcast. It'll be a nice break. And then give me a couple days. I'm going to record the podcast sometime this week after I watch it a few more times, the musters, the replays. And then next week we will get into the mess. I will, if you are on my OnlyFans, I'm going to mention this later. I just am mentioning it at the top. I will be doing a little bit of thoughts this week, but it's just so much. I'm just in a lot of pain. So enjoy this podcast. It's about stuff that's not about the muster. Muster will be next week. If you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe, and I will talk to y'all soon. Hello and welcome to, finally, I have returned an episode of Grown Ass Fandom. I'm Shanae. Oh, guys, I've missed you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I hope this sounds okay. I'm on a different system in a different country, coming live to you from South Korea. What? And it was a battle. It was a journey, a real situation to get here. I think I'm going to break down the process in detail. My OnlyFans is my patron-only podcast, which you can find when you become a patron. And the best thing about becoming a patron is at the $5 level, you get to join the Discord. And when I tell you that it is the best Discord ever, that like they're planning trips together, like the support, everybody's so fucking awesome in there. So if you want a bunch of K-pop friends, and if you're like, I really would like K-pop friends, you definitely need to join the Discord. You have a really good time. It's just a fun environment, like very much. If you like the conversations we have on here, you will absolutely love the Patreon. So, and I'm going to talk more about the process of getting here. But yes, I am in South Korea. I am going to be quarantining for 14 days. At this point, when you hear this, it'll be 10 days, 9 days. I don't know. It's actually already going by pretty fast. So I will be out and in the world before you know it. I will be doing episodes, so don't worry about that. I think I'm going to try to do some interviews, although gosh, like the internet connection in here is not great, so we'll see how that works out. But I am back and in full effect from South Korea. So a lot of stuff has happened since I've been gone, and we have quite a few things to talk about. And yeah, let's just dive in, shall we? So the first thing I want to talk about is this big thing that happened while I was gone was the boy. So this is going to be a piece of BTS news. So the BTS members are in Butter Promotions. And I guess even before we talk about this situation, I want to know, like, how do we feel about Butter? How do we feel about everything about it? I know I have mixed feelings about it. I want BTS to have all the success in the world. But I definitely hope that in addition to getting songs like Butter, we get songs that are more in alignment of, and I talked about this last episode, I talked about how it's really interesting how they've really abandoned the core BTS strategy for the sake of Western success. And one of the things that somebody mentioned in the Discord, or we were talking about, is just the idea of, you know, how, you know, this strategy is really about the Grammy, right? It's the box that they need to open. But I am curious to see what the chances are of Butter winning a Grammy, because it seems like it has a lot of competition, maybe more competition than Dynamite. I don't know if they can refuse to give BTS this Grammy twice, but I definitely think that it's interesting that, because one of the things that, like I mentioned in the last episode when I talked about butter in detail, was that something that RM, so weird to call him RM because I never call him RM, I always call him by his government. Something that Nam June was saying over and over again was that butter's not about anything. It's about just like a fun, chill time. And yeah, like there's songs, I love butter. But there's a lot of competition. So I just am curious to see what's going to happen. But maybe their category is safe. Like the group, what is it? The group, a performance category that they lost to Rain On Me To, which I don't agree with that. Like I think that Dynamite should have definitely won that for sure. So I think that if they're in that category again by themselves, they might have a good chance, but it's going to be a lot of competition. So I just am curious to see how long we're going to be chasing this. And also, is this sort of like the way forward is stuff at this level and this type of song and this type of energy? And it becomes a philosophical question, like I said before. I would love to sit Nam June down and be like, so what is it that you guys actually want? And what are the strategies to get it? So I'd be curious just to hear what you think about butter. Are you exhausted? Because I feel like the thing about butter this time around and the whole conversation about it and all the energy around it is that it's exhausting. Like I am burnt out. Obviously, I was burnt out for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons was that I just couldn't talk about BTS anymore. There's just so much content. It's like a fire hose of content. And it's not necessarily like personal content. It's just like content. So it's just, it's really interesting that even with all this happening and everything going on, we're not really necessarily getting like lives or anything. It's just content, if that makes sense. Let me know if you get what I'm saying. But yeah, I'd be curious to hear, what do you think about butter? What do you think about this new BTS strategy for world domination? I was comparing it to somebody like Beyonce or some of the other artists. And I think that BTS is as old as a lot of artists that are having success at their same level. 8 years is a long time. We're celebrating their 8-year anniversary. And a lot of the artists who are active now have been around for 8+ years. So they're not necessarily a new artist. They're a veteran artist, and just all veteran artists, you get to the point after 8 years or 10 years or whatever, especially with the boy band model and all the dancing and the abuse to your body, where you do have this question of what's next. There is no, they're at the peak. I guess they could climb higher, but as of now with these Billboard wins, I think the Grammy is like the last mountain to climb. And then after the Grammy, I'd be curious what they want to do next, if they want to do anything next. There's just a lot of questions to think about. Thinking about BTS, I wanted to turn my head to like the first topic we're going to be talking about, which is, again, the India interviews, the interviews that BTS did for Butter and the controversy around it. If you don't know what happened, they did a couple of interviews, and I really want to get to the part that like literally keeps me up at night. And if you saw the name of this episode, you know what I'm talking about. Well, let's talk about like the serious stuff first, or this other thing first, and then we'll talk about, like, my name's not even Kayla, okay? Like, my name's not even Kayla, and it still haunts me. But so there's this interview with an Indian interviewer. She's very beautiful, and the guy seemed to really like her, blah, 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 blah. As a result of this, some army decided to dig up dirt on her. From what I understand, it wasn't just her. I think that they also tried to dig dirt up on Kayla out of jealousy. And there was like this huge sort of like conversation around this, sort of talking about army and entitlement and it being bad for BTS that ARMY would do something like this. People are not going to want to fuck with BTS anymore because of this, and they're really toxic and stuff like that. And let me tell you something, my feelings have really evolved around this topic, because I think that I, for a long time, especially as a TikToker and somebody who has to deal with some of the like toxic mindsets of K-pop fans on a regular basis, I think me myself, I have always been somebody who's like, yeah, fuck those toxic K-pop fans. Like, they're so delusional. They're just kids and stuff like that. But lately I feel like, especially as I've been watching a really interesting dynamic between BTS and ARMY during this Butter release, and how I feel like a lot of the responsibility and a lot of the job of ARMY, if we look at the strategy of BTS as a whole, it's very much ARMY dependent, where they don't really do much as far as marketing and branding. They just exist and ARMY does the rest. You know, I'm always saying that they need to cut ARMY a fucking check, and they do. And then with this butter campaign, it's the same thing. At one point, Suga was like, I think we can do it. And I think he really meant them, and but also really ARMY, because it is really ARMY who is streaming and mass buying. And it's like this thing where you feel, as a member of ARMY, you feel a huge amount of responsibility to their success. I don't have this. Like, I think that for me personally, as an adult ARMY, I think that if streaming is fun, you should do it. But I don't think that it should be our responsibility to do this. It's not, they're always like, thank you to ARMY for giving this to us. But I think that at this point, BTS has really done a lot and they've gotten a lot. So they don't necessarily need my devotion at that level, in my opinion. I think that a lot of ARMY would disagree, but for me, I listen to the song when I feel like listening to it. I don't feel any obligation to try to get BTS any other achievements. It just doesn't, to me, it's not necessarily appropriate. But it's a huge part of the formula. It's a huge part of what made BTS successful is the fact that ARMY, I mean, we're called ARMY for fuck's sakes. Like, we feel like we have a lot of responsibility to get them in these places, to get them these successes, and that they're this sort of outsider and it's up to us to kind of get them to the place where they can have the success. Well, at this point, they've had all the success, but that's still something that people feel. Honestly, they honestly feel like it's up to them. And I was reading some tweets and it said this too. It's, remember, all BTS has is ARMY. And I was just like, this is really wild. And so when you see, so that's why I said that my opinions have changed on this, because I don't think it's necessarily obsession. It seems to be a part of the K-pop formula. You know what I mean? I think that there's a reason why when all this stuff happened, where they digged up the dirt on this interviewer, BTS didn't say anything. And anytime the ARMY goes after somebody, whether it's deserved or not, whether they are aligned with them or not, BTS doesn't say anything. I think the one rare time that BTS has commented on this is when I think ARMY went after Alicia Keys, and I think Tae was like, we love Alicia or something like that. And it still was like very light. And it was also up for interpretation. I think a lot of ARMYs were like, oh, he didn't mean it that way. He didn't whatever. And so what I'm saying is that is a side effect of the level of obsession and responsibility and accountability that ARMY feels for BTS, stuff like this happening. I think that a lot of the community has taken it upon themselves to kind of be like, hey, listen, if we want BTS to get these opportunities and if we want them to have these things, we have to stop acting like this. But like, ARMY shouldn't be a self-governing body. I think that if they really wanted and they felt this way, and they if they really believed that ARMY's behavior was closing the door on opportunities for them, they would say something. But I think that they also understand that that's not something they can easily do, because ARMY's obsession and devotion to them is what has gotten them this far. And so can you have it both ways? Can you have this really healthy audience that has like good boundaries and doesn't do these things and also have the success that they have? I don't know. I think there's no way to know, because I've talked so much about the nature of K-pop and the boyfriend experience and the way that there is really specific language that is being used to make ARMY feel this way. And that's why I said that my feelings have evolved, because before I was like, what the fuck? But now I'm like, if I was 13 or 12 or in a state of insecurity, right? And you have these seven gorgeous, talented men telling me that I'm the main thing they think about. It's all I care about. Like, you guys are everything to me. You've given me everything. Would I feel some type of way when I saw those same guys flirting with this beautiful woman in a great dress? I think jealousy is normal. And also, jealousy is something that is sexy to Army. That's something else that I want, that is like weird to think about. I am planning out an OnlyFans episode. I don't know if I'm going to get to it this week because I'm going to be talking about my quarantine experience, but I'm planning out an episode that's about Imagines that I found on YouTube. I didn't know anything about them. And one of the biggest themes that you see over and over again in these Imagines is this idea of a jealous boyfriend. Like, people, they love jealousy as a theme to explore. So I think it's interesting that jealousy is what's sort of spurring on some of these cancellations and these investigations, because they feel the ownership over BTS. And so what I'm saying is yes, it's fucked up and it's bad and it's inappropriate that, and it sucks that Army would do this. And of course, Army can be toxic, but do they need to be toxic? Is that a part of it? Is that a part of what's gotten them where they are? And I don't think people want to have this conversation, but I think that it's true. The most devoted, okay, I was just an example of a Venn diagram. I think the Venn diagram between people who are super obsessed with BTS to the point of feeling real intense jealousy to the fact that would spur this on, with people who are mass buying, who are streaming all day, every day, who are like creating all this art and promoting. I think there's like a pretty big overlap, but I don't know if people would want to own that or admit that their relationship with the BTS might be a little unhealthy. But again, it's being cultivated, and that's not like a, I don't think it's just BTS that's doing this. I think it's, like I said, it's K-pop in general. I think that K-pop, one of the strategies that is that you need people to feel. So I'm going to go ahead and jump to this question now. I forgot who asked this question, but on SpeakerPipe, I was asked this question about how we talk a lot about parasocial relationships and how, you know, us as fans feel like we know the idols. But I think that there's also, and they are asking, but what about the idols and their relationship with their fans? And then the example she gave was Taemin. And it's true. I was watching Taemin. I was really sad when he went into the military. He's in there now. Hope he's well. And he had a lot. He was like saying all sorts of shit. Like, he was like, don't love anybody else. Don't like another idol. Don't get another boyfriend. And just talking about how much, like, really just, like I said, being very possessive about his audience and making sure that they only have eyes for them and that they won't go away. And I do wonder, when I was like watching that, I was like, I wonder how common this is. And I wonder if even if it's not said out loud, because I think that Taemin is really having a hard time with his enlistment. So when he was talking about that, he was coming from a place of real pain and like fear, and the reputation of idols and the way that idols, their careers, the public is very fickle. If you go to, was it Chen, who once EXO, he was like a huge part of EXO, and once they found out he had a wife or he got somebody pregnant, like, they were burning his CDs. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very delicate balance. And the whole Ed Sheeran and BTS thing is kind of a joke, but I think it's a good example of how the devotion is deep but fragile. And I think when Taemin was leaving, he knows that. And he knows that while that devotion has to be cultivated and really it has to be tended to in order for you to keep it, because it's not a guarantee. And yeah, like, I wonder with BTS if when they have these things come up, instead of defending people, they let the stuff play out because they know it's the same thing that, like, when we talk about like the fantasy, so much of K-pop is about fantasy. You know, the reason why they don't reveal their partners or like who they're dating is because so much of, okay, so if we compare this, okay, so I'm going all over the place, but the fantasy And another way that this comes up is when we were talking about South Korea and how when somebody says negative things about South Korea, people get really angry and they call them South Korea haters. And they're like, why did you say that? This is everywhere. Like, I was watching a video and it was about dating and how like South Korea dating is not all that. And by the way, I like downloaded South Korea Tinder just to see it. And she's right. They're just men. But the mention of that really triggers people and it really makes them feel upset and defensive because you're not necessarily attacking them, but you're attacking their fantasy. You're attacking this sort of way of thinking and this sort of like escape, this escape hatch that they built for themselves within their minds, and you're making it so it's not as pristine. Because at the end of the day, I think fantasy is about escape. And it's this idea, especially when it's idealized, it's this idea that if you were to, like, the fantasy holding on to it feels, it's comforting in a way. And it makes you feel like there is an escape, even if you're not going to be Jungkook's boyfriend. But if you could, and that like possibility is out there, it somehow makes you feel better, even if your life isn't good. And so South Korea, you could always be like, oh, if I go to South Korea, it's this and it'll feel like this and I'll be this experience. And I think that's the same with K-pop idols. But the fantasy itself is, it's sensitive. It's really sensitive. It's very delicate because fantasy and reality is there such a thin line. And when fantasy is busted up, or when you have to look at the reality of how things are and you're like seeing things as they are, it's really depressing. It's really depressing. That's why I'm always like, I don't want any K-pop tea, because even in my mind, even as somebody who's very much a realist who gets on this podcast and talks my shit about how I want reality, but even I like to keep some of the fantasy, because K-pop to me also exists in this realm of escape where it's okay, like the real world problems don't come into here. And so all this to say is that for fans being toxic, it's not completely their fault. I think that they are a part of a system that requires this of you. And if you fall into it in this way, especially as a teenager, your brain is just like very much not developed. And if I'm somebody who, like, I'm in my 30s and I find myself falling into it just as easily as somebody who is younger, I can't imagine what that must be like. So while I do think that it's toxic and it's bad, I just don't understand. I don't really know if BTS is ever going to do anything about it. And if BTS is not going to do anything about it, what's ARMY supposed to do? And can ARMY do anything about it? Because for those people, they feel it so deeply. Like, you can't really logic somebody out of their emotions. It's a really difficult thing to do. You can't just be like, you're dumb and this is bad. Because again, I really liked the videos and what a lot of the creators were saying about how nobody's going to want to work with BTS. Nobody's going to want to like fuck with them anymore. But I feel like they understand it's the price that they pay. I feel like they're already outsiders. And I wonder if for them, it's just them and ARMY and they get it. And I don't know. I feel like this could probably sound negative. I don't necessarily mean it to be negative. I just feel like it's the reality of the situation. And there's just, it's just built into this system that we're all a part of. And along those lines, like, the other thing that I wanted to talk about as far as my first kind of point is that K-pop is designed in a way that would create toxic behaviors. And the other reason why that it would create toxic behaviors and the other reason why people are so protective over their fantasies is, I don't know if we've talked enough about the link between mental health and K-pop. I remember seeing, I think everybody was passing around this meme or this screenshot from somebody's Instagram, and the Instagram was like, I'm sorry that I haven't been around. I'm on mood stabilizers and I haven't been as obsessed with BTS. And I just remember being, no, for real. But I think it's true. There is so many people who get into BTS specifically or K-pop specifically because it's a great, I don't know, like the way that you can hyperfixate on it can feel soothing and relaxing and like the escape, like I said. And there's so many people who, I remember I was writing, I did my video about the Grammys. And by the way, the Grammys thing, people being so upset about that, I didn't understand it either. It was just like, fuck the Grammys. But I remember somebody in my comments were like, I want to unalive myself. And I was like, what? Why? And there's always so many, when I look at edits on Instagram and stuff, a lot of times it'll be like, Jungkook is the only reason why I'm alive. And I was like, oh my, and there's a lot of people like that. It's very, very common. And I don't know, I go back and forth, because obviously there's worse coping mechanisms to deal with very serious things in K-pop. You know, you could turn to drugs or alcohol or like whatever. And so buying K-pop albums isn't necessarily bad, but I think that when you have a community full of people who are hurting in really serious, deep ways, and you combine that with this sort of comfort boyfriend, I'll be your everything branding, it does create a chaotic environment. At least I feel like chaotic is like the least we can say for it. And then of course, toxic is the worst. And I do think that so I was even thinking about this with myself when I was thinking about BTS and K-pop, and I was like, so what is my relationship going to be like with K-pop once the world opens up and it's no longer quarantine and all this stuff? Like, how is this going to look? And I think it's going to look very different, because once I'm able to get out of some of the slump behaviors, and I even already have felt that a little bit as I've opened myself up to doing different things, how I don't have as much time to devote to everything and I don't really have the energy for it anymore, because you can't really be setting some of these groups as a full-time job, it feels. And so being able to, even like this week with Festa, let me tell you something, I don't know what the fuck is going on with it. Like all the stuff that's coming out, I don't know if you're somebody who were following me and hoping that I would be able to talk about it. And I really can't, because there's just so much stuff. There's so much content. It's literally like a water hose. And I was flying to Korea and I was doing all this other stuff, so I couldn't really devote all this time to it. And I just wonder, as people heal themselves, do they kind of fall out of love with K-pop? And I also think that as you heal yourself, the strings start to show, the holes start to show in a lot of different ways. I remember one thing that really like negatively impacted my enjoyment of Butter was the reveal of JK saying that he didn't eat for 5 days. Like that totally ruined his whole vibe. Because remember, I was like very complimentary of JK in his look and his hair and his energy. But now that I know that he didn't eat, I was like, oh, maybe he was just fucking delirious. Delirious from hunger. So I feel like you notice more stuff like that as you open up and are interested in other things and are thinking about other things and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I think I just, these are just questions and things that I'm thinking about around BTS and like the things that happen in ARMY, is that are they just destined to happen because of the way that we all got here? We are people who are broken in a lot of, I don't like to say broken, but we have a lot of issues in a lot of different ways. And K-pop, the thing about K-pop is they speak another language. And so it feels like even more of an escape, and you're just out of your world for a bit, and it heals you and it fills you up. And because it heals you and fills you up, you feel like you want to give back. You want to give them your all. You want to give them their everything. And so you do. And then they talk to a hot guy, girl, or a hot guy, or whatever. And you're like, oh my God, I'm jealous because I've given you my everything. I've given you my everything. And you told me you fucking loved me. And now you're flirting with this girl. What the fuck? And it's, that sounds crazy, but I don't know if it is. Like, I just don't know. And I know that. And it's, we make fun of Delulu ARMY and we make fun of people who are like, need to touch some grass. But like, it's so intentional by these companies to make us feel this way. And if we can escape it, that's great. That means we have a lot of stuff in our lives that can fill us up in different ways. And I feel like I was posting in the group about how like how I was having such a hard time with K-pop, but at the end, I feel like my relationship to it's going to be a lot healthier, and I feel like that's true. And so I think people do need to go through the journey of living their lives, healing their wounds, so that they can have a safer relationship, so they can have a better relationship. But again, not to get too political, but because of our system and all this other stuff, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to do that. And there's always that joke that so-and-so is free therapy, but for a lot of people, they fucking are their therapy, but they should probably go see therapists. I don't know. I talked for 30 minutes about this, but let me know what you think about all this. I just think it's all very fascinating. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, we can talk about what's really important, which is, let me tell you something. This thing I'm about to tell you, if you're in the Discord or if you've talked to me, but it's all I think about, it's all I talk about. I was literally in the line for security, and it came up, and I thought about it again. And it's the, hey, Kayla, in that interview. My name's not even Kayla. So if your name is Kayla, have you like lost your mind? Is your spirit left your body? Because it's sometimes I'm like, you know what? I need to leave this K-pop world behind, get a boyfriend, start having sex again, live my fucking life. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Like, if Shanae... Okay, so... I think I guys told you I've had a couple of close encounters with BTS. As in, they're, like, have been very much in my orbit, but I've never met them or seen them. So, one way... So, there's two things. So, one, I guess it was... I forgot what year it was, but they did some type of thing at the Microsoft Center in LA, and my friend and I, we were meeting up. I think it was for a hockey game or something, and there was like these long lines. We're like, and then we like asked one of them, we're like, so what is this for? And they're like, oh, BTS. And I remember like seeing their faces on their t-shirts and being like, what the fuck, what is this? And we were so annoyed. Little did I know, right, that I would be here now. And another thing was the Rose Bowl. So they played at the Rose Bowl in 2019. And I forgot, I think I was in the area for something or I needed to go up there. And people were like, don't go up there, it's crazy. And I was like, what? What's going on? And then one of my best friends works for NBC. And so not only did he see BTS at Billboard, but also at The Voice. And all these times when all these sort of like situations were explained to me or people would ask me about it, I'd be like, I don't fucking like, the fuck is BTS? What do I look like? Am I a kid? And now look at me. And then if 2019, 2018, Shanae would know that she would be completely unhinged, unmoored, completely out of her mind over this, I guess he's going to be 27-year-old man saying, hey, Kayla, while kicking his feet, she'd be fucking ashamed. And I am ashamed. I'm ashamed myself, but it's truly like I could spend this whole podcast analyzing it, but I won't because like I don't know that there's somebody from Big Hit listening to this, but they could be. They could be. It gets a little suspicious out here. It's been a little suspicious lately with references to my show and my podcast. I mean, my show, as in this show and my TikToks. But it's on my heart, on my mind. And it's just because it's just the thing about Namjoon. Oh my God. Here we go. The thing about Namjoon is that he's, I want to say fucked, but goes beyond that. Like he just has this energy about him, this intensity, which is why I think he attracts so many black K-pop stans, that there's just like this energy about him. And there's like this, a lot of times I feel like in K-pop, okay, so a lot of times in K-pop, one of the like renderings of a K-pop star is that you strip them of their sort of like of their masculinity in some ways. And then you build it up with like female, like the female gaze, right? So masculinity that is really non-threatening. And that's not really true. It's like I said, I think a lot of times they say that Nam June seems like a guy who's written by women. But I think that one of the reasons why he appeals to older people so much is that there is like that edge about him that's not toxic, but he has this like intensity, and there's something like threateningly sexy about him that you don't see in a lot of idols. Because I think that the threat, so either, okay, just stay with me, okay? Just walk with me. Like, a lot of times with K-pop idols, the sexiness is, like, very obvious and it's laid on very thick. And the female gaze is very, like, properly observed in a way that feels very on the nose. And then if it's supposed to be, like, a masculine idol, he, like, very much, I mean, you don't really see it that much, but if he is, it's laid on thick, and it's almost like the not good version of the disappointed dog. I could go, I'm not going to talk about Jimin right now, about how he toes that line in a really interesting way. But the thing about Namjoon is that he like keeps this edge that I feel like often gets taken away from idols. And I guess it's because he's the leader, and it creates this daddy energy that you don't really get very often in K-pop. And I don't know if it's because he has so much responsibility or what, but it's there, right? And so he has this energy of this really in control boss. I don't know. And it's so funny because, you know, he's obviously a part of BTS, so they do a lot of subverting of masculine tropes and stuff like that. But that's why I talk about how like masculinity and some of these things are not performances, they're just like innate in people, and they either have it or they don't. So like you have that, and then you have this moment where like the hey Kayla, which I don't know, I'm probably making too big of a deal about this, but there's like this shade of vulnerability in his voice that you don't normally hear. If you compare it to the way that he greets other, I sound crazy, but if you like compare it to like other ways of saying, there was just like something like very vulnerable and stripped down about the way he said it. And again, it could just be me putting a lot of energy on it, but the fact that I responded to it so strongly to me says that there is a little something to that. And I don't know, it's just so hot. Hey Kayla is so hot, and I don't understand why it's affecting me in such a deep way. Why am I spending, I've literally spent almost 10 minutes talking about it. So yeah, that's like the thing I want to talk about more than anything, was the hey Kayla, how hot it was, how just the vulnerability, that the foot cook, it's a foot kick for me. It's the foot kick for me. And I don't know, I'm always saying, one of the things that I always say is that nothing is tea with BTS. Like anything that you see or gets revealed is what they want you to see. And I think that that's true, but I don't know. I feel like while I know people really liked the sort of the flirting of the India interview, and I guess, but there was just something about something more casual and open and about the Kayla interview, and with all of them, I feel like all of them were charmed by her energy. And I don't know, maybe it's because the India interview, it was more about nervousness and like whatever, but anyway, I preferred the Kayla interview. I know that one of the cool things to see was how like the fandom really embraced Kayla, and we're all like simping for Kayla because she's a bad bitch who asks good questions. Because I think I've talked about this before, about how you know, I lost my train of thought. Kayla's a bad bitch. Oh, how a lot of the interviewers ask such basic ass, dumbass questions. And it's nice to see her be very prepared. The thing about the India interview too was really interesting, because one of the things I always talk about is how men are like super fucking easy and simple. One of the things that I liked about the India interview is that she just like really understands men. Like she was really smart with her research and what she said. I really liked how, again, I don't agree with anything. I actually don't know the details about it, but I believe the people who were affected about it when they say they were offended. And for that, I will not fuck with that or with her. But the interview itself, I thought she did really good, which is what I like always tell people to do. I'm like, obviously I'm not like a dating coach or anything like that. I don't know. But one of the things about dealing with men is that they're so used to not being necessarily complimented or engaged with things that are like specific to them, if that makes sense. And so her saying the thing about Jin's handsomeness and then saying the thing about complimenting JK's hair after that last interview, I think there's like a couple interviews back where he was complimenting one of the interviewers' hair, and for her to do that was just really smart. And I love when men get played like fiddles. So that was fun for me to watch. And it's nice to know that they're just like, because you're just always like, what would you do? I was like talking about to a friend, we were like, so if we, this is Delulu Hours with Shanaeverse, are we gonna call, okay, so like in the Discord I call it the Shanaeverse, but I also was listening back and I call it the Shanaeverse. What would you like better? What do you like better, the Shanaeverse or the Shanaeverse? Let me know. But in the Shanaeverse, I was thinking about, so if you had to hit on the BTS members, what would you do? What would be your strategy? And it's so interesting to see her employ some of the strategies and the ideas that I've had about what I would do if I would meet the different members. So yeah, that's interview talk. I think that's enough about that. Hey, Kayla. I want to die. It's so good. Like, I want to be free, and I don't ever think I ever will be. Like, will I ever be free of Namjoon? Probably fucking not. Probably not. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so the next thing on our agenda is to talk about the Room live performance. So as you'll notice, I'm not talking about Mustard, even though I guess, so at this point, day one of Mustard would have been out. By the time you are watching this, that is what's happened. But I will talk about Muster next week because I will be back next week. We'll go dive deep into it. I think it'll be nice too because I can watch it once and then I can watch the single repeat viewing. I think it's next week as well. Like I said, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Festa. It's just so much content. I just have been seeing all these translations on Twitter and I've just been so overwhelmed. And then apparently there's like a test and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I can't do it all. But the thing about this Room performance is that, and I've said this on my TikTok, by the way, I'm back to doing TikToks again. So if you don't follow me or if you haven't seen me, I was gone for a week, more than a week. And I was like afraid people would forget about me, or I was like Taemin. I was like, please, I'll talk about Taemin. I don't know where this is going to show up, but I'll talk about Taemin and how he's, please, nobody, don't go to any more other TikTokers. Leave me, please, please, please. I feel like that's how I felt with my TikTok, but I am back there and I'm doing a new series called Best BTS Hair. And as of recording this, I've done two so far. I've done Jin and Yoongi, and I'm working on Hobie's right now. But anyway, in my TikTok about the Room performance, I said, reflecting upon the stuff that I've been saying in my podcast about like the productization of BTS and how you've been really, I feel like the industry aspect of BTS has been very obvious during this campaign. And I guess I think during this year, I would say we just are hyper aware. Something else I was talking to a friend about is about how like, especially here, okay, so they're like, what is BTS doing? And they're doing like ads because like I said, I'm in South Korea and I only have my TV and me, and I've seen like 6 commercials featuring BTS. So I feel like, and then like the Fila ads and stuff like that. And I feel like, so we've just been very much exposed to the industry personality aspects of BTS. And if there are performances, they're very like staged, perfect performances. And so I think the biggest thing that this Room performance did was it kind of reminded people who BTS really is outside of the context of like all this other crap going on, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's a, oh, there they are, the fun, playful, enjoying each other group that we miss. Because even though you had like the butter kind of playful videos, I don't know, it just wasn't the same. Like, this felt like really real. I think that you could tell that they were really enjoying singing their old songs, their older songs, and like, they felt really connected to the music. They sounded great. It looked like they were having fun. So those are the things that I really noticed about the performance. If we want to talk about anything, and again, we're thinking about stuff that keeps me up at night. Of course, there's the Look Here verse by Namjoon. what's poppin', girl, again in my mind. I just have a list of phrases that I hear in his voice in my mind at all times. It's fine. It's not anything I need to talk to my therapist about, I'm sure. But yeah, the performance itself was really good. Also, the styling has been greatly improved. Whoever they hired for styling has come and they understand the assignment. I was very happy with the styling. They all looked really excellent. The looks were classic and stylish without being super matchy. I haven't looked at the details for the brand featured there, but you know how a lot of times when they like get clothes from one collection, it just is like too on the nose. I feel like their outfits were distinguished enough and stylish enough and represented them enough to where it was a little better. There's some qualms I have. Was it JK's shoes? I was like, But my favorite styling was definitely Suga, who looked fucking hot. Listen, Suga's okay. Which one of y'all is fucking Suga? Just show yourself and let me know what it's, please tell me what it's like. I just want to know. I really would like to know, because it's just the glow he has on him right now is unlike anything I've ever seen before. And it could be work glow, but it seems like he has extra sauce. Like, he just looks incredible. He looks so fucked. Like, it's just remarkable. And his styling, I really like his jacket. I really like his hair. He looks excellent. Also, at the time we're recording this, Jin and Suga both have blonde hair. And I don't want to talk, I'm not going to send links to the blonde hair photo because I guess it was taken by like an obsessive fan, but he looks so good. Jin, I'm telling you, when men, the closer men get to 30, the hotter they become. They really do. It's really true. But yeah, Suga, hot, fucked. Namjoon, as usual, making me just like so happy because the rap line really got to rap and we haven't really gotten to see them rap. Like, they've been really buried the last couple of, honestly, like the last year or so, like not since even on, yeah, I don't know, because the B did not feature them as far as a lot of rapping. And so, yeah, I miss them. Like, I miss Rapline. It was just so cool to see their roots and all that showcased in them playing their songs. Also, Jimin's vocals. I feel like he's been doing a lot of work during this break to improve his vocals. Obviously, he always sounds amazing, but he sounds extra amazing here lately. Of course, JK always sounds good. Tae, just in his grandma attire. Again, I said this on TikTok, how this time he is giving you grandma at Bible study vibes, which I really like. What a vibe. And Hobi looking adorable. Like, how long are we gonna have the blonde hair? I really, really like it. Let's see. So we said Hobi, Jimin, Tae, Namjoon, Suga, JK, Hobi, everybody. Yeah, so the performance was really good. I really liked it. But yeah, the biggest thing that I enjoyed about it was that it just really was a return to form to who BTS is and why we follow them. Like, it's so fucking weird. Like, it's so fucking weird how big BTS really is. And it's like hard to wrap your head around it. Like, the bigness and how they're really just like this product, really. And that's like a weird thing to say, but it's true. Like, they are, like, they're bigger than our relationship to them. And so it's easy to get lost in it all and forget because you just feel like you're like a part of this thing. But they're just like seven guys hanging out, and that's where they're their best, and that's when they're their most charming. And so I hope we get more experiences like this. And I'm very excited for Muster because I feel like it's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. So let me know what you thought about the room performance. Again, I loved all the songs. Pied Piper is literally my favorite. What are your favorite BTS songs? Tell me. I think my favorite, if they change all the time, but lately my favorite songs have been, like, for a while, Tomorrow was like one of my favorite. And of course, like, Disease, Pied Piper, Love Maze, Home, Ratchet Army shit. So that's what I think, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about Muster. Okay, so next I wanted to talk about the comeback from EXO. One of the things that I was like thinking about this comeback was about the fact that if you look at a lot of the lists of the top K-pop bands. EXO's always two or three. It's always like BTS, ironically, GOT7. So BTS, GOT7, 17, which I don't know anything about, actually. I have a friend, Sasha. She's actually a TikToker. She loves 17. I don't know anything about them. But it's always like BTS, GOT7, NCT, 17, and EXO. And so I think I already talked about this before, about last year when I got into K-pop, two of my most played songs were The Eve and either, was it Obsession, I think? Obsession from EXO. The Eve is probably one of my top three favorite songs. I've talked about this already. If you have not listened to The Eve by EXO, it is one of the most amazing songs. And it's just, it sits like directly in this like really fun sweet spot between ratchet with like also being like sex music with also being smooth. And just like, it's so good. And I used to watch the dance practice and stuff. And I do not know anything about EXO. When I tell you I do not know anything about EXO, I do not know anything about EXO other than Kai. And so I wanted to take a look at this comeback and kind of make some assessments, see where they're at, the numbers are going to be. Is this something that can be revived or what? So one of the biggest issues I would say with EXO, and it's an interesting model, and I wonder, like I said, here we are talking about the E word again, enlistment, and how it can really be destructive to a band. And I think EXO is a good kind of example of this, of how people coming in and coming out over the course of a couple years can do a lot of damage to like the chemistry and the cohesion of the group and making them feel like they're really like a group. And that's why I was like, I wonder if BTS looks at all these bands and sees how hard it is for years and it's so much wasted time, if that's why they'll go in together. And like I said, I think they'll go in together if they have to go. But yeah, I think EXO is a good example of like how kind of chaotic it can and hard it can be to kind of keep that together. So that's why I was like interested in seeing it. So the Don't Fight the Feeling song sounds really familiar to me. I don't know. Because there is a song that don't fight the feeling. Okay, that's where it is. I was like, where does it sound familiar? So, and it's also doesn't seem like I've never seen one of EXO's cute concepts. Like I said, my favorite songs are the songs, literally they were my top songs. I listened to those songs so much, Obsession and The Eve, so much that EXO showed up in like my top play last year, even though I have no clue anything about them. And so it was interesting to see them do a cute concept. The song, I feel like I really like parts of it. I'm not sure if I put it all together that it like, I have to listen to it a couple times. I feel like it might be like a grower because I really like EXO's music. EXO makes bangers, like really like bangers of a songs. I like every time I try to listen to a song, I'm like, this like hits, man. This is like a banger of a song. And so maybe it just needs to grow on me. The cute concept was kind of surprising to me, but I think given the fact that their last few concepts have been like more like edgier, it makes sense. The men are beautiful. Like they're all just like gorgeous in like a way that like is really different from say GOT7 or BTS or anything like that. They're just like really beautiful. My favorite member is Lay. I first discovered Lay when I was on TikTok, of course. I was on TikTok and there's a video of him. I guess he's in China and he performs solo most of the time, right? And so I was watching a video of him and I was like, who the fuck is that? That is one of the finest men I've ever seen. And since then, I've been watching interviews with him and stuff like that. And he's so cute. Have you seen the interview where they're like, what's your cat's name? He's, I don't know. It's just cat, doesn't have a name. He's just adorable, but he's really incredible in the video. I don't think he's there. I think they like added him in. I'm wondering if they just were like begging him to come, because like how many members are there in EXO is my question. It seems like a big group. Let's look. EXO. And it's always Kai. You see Kai in there. When does Kai enlist? He's also holding on for dear life. it must be time for him to enlist at some point. I know that Taman enlisted and he could have gone last year, but I understand why he would go now, because it's get it over with so that it's okay. It's like you have Kai, Do, Chin, Human, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Suho. Suho is hot. Is he in the military? Oh, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Are some of these people still, a lot of these people aren't here anymore, are they? I'm pretty sure they're not around anymore. So yeah, I think the song is really interesting. I think that I might be a grower. I'm curious to see if they're going to like break in, because the last time that they had a, I think they had a comeback in 2018, I want to say. Or was it, well, let's see, when was, there's that song that I also like of theirs. It's the Love Shot. But I feel like EXO seems to be a group that's going to kind of like, everybody's just going to do their thing. It doesn't seem like they're like, they make bangers of the music, but I don't know if they're, you tell me if you follow EXO, are they like super connected or what? Let me see. EXO. EXO. So they have 8 million subscribers. So there's still a great deal. I guess the gap between BTS and everyone else is so large. Okay, yeah. 2 years ago was Love Shot, and it had 419 million views. That's pretty big. Tempo, 198 million views. Let's see. Obsession, 136. And Don't Fight the Feeling is 40 million in 3 days. That's pretty good. It's hard to tell when you're a BTS fan, seeing other people's numbers always seems like overwhelming, but I would like, if I compare it to even my loves, the loves of my life's GOT7, how many, I think that doesn't even have 40 million views though. Yeah. So Last Piece still has 38 million and it was released 6 months ago. So I think that that's pretty good. So I think that EXO is still pretty popular at 40 million over 3 days is pretty great, especially for a band that hasn't really been in the conversation for a little bit. Like I had to go back and find them, but I guess, gosh, SM has quite the roster, because they have EXO, they have SHINee, they have NCT, and then also they have a bunch of, EXO has a bunch of subunits. I don't know. If you're an EXO fan, let me know what the deal is. Did you like the song? Did you like the comeback? I thought the video was like the setting. I really like their fits. I thought that the fits were good. But yeah, I have to listen to the song some more to get into it. But I'm just curious to see what they're doing to do next. Are they going to kind of form a strategy to break in and compete with BTS? I think the biggest thing is that nobody wants to compete. And like nobody, like obviously the strategies that BTS uses, a lot of them are K-pop strategies, but they're doing some extra other things to kind of grow. But nobody's really doing that. And I was hoping with the EXO video, it would seem like a challenge. And maybe it is. It's still kind of early. I should listen to the rest of the album and see if there's anything that stands out as something that could be. Because one of the things that I'm looking at, I don't know, you're probably like, Shanae, why are you trying to find competitors for for EXO, for BTS? Let them thrive. But I just think I want to know what's the strategy that you could take. For example, if I was a manager for an EXO or a GOT7, what would be the things that I would do in order to break through and make some noise? And I think the strategy I would take is I would try to target Gen Z a little more. And TXT, they just released an album. And there's a song on the album called Anti-Romantic. And the Anti-Romantic song is perfect. Perfect for Gen Z. perfect for TikTok. And in fact, there has been TikTok trends on there. And I've seen people do stuff to the song who are not K-pop fans and are not, because, and I don't even think they're trying to get clout, because I don't think that TXT can give you the clout that, say, like a BTS can. And I think that that's the strategy. Go for like Olivia Rodrigo crowd. Because then if you go for her crowd, it kind of like expands out. And talking about TXT's album, some, the sound and stuff is really smart because it's really appealing to, because, you know, when I did my initial TXT analysis, I was like, not for me. But first of all, the album is excellent. The new album is excellent. I really love their title song. I really love Magic. I think Ice Cream is cute. But mostly I think it's smart because the sound is kind of like early 2000s, like my era of like alt rock type stuff. One of the reasons why I was watching this TikTok and they were like, why do millennials love Olivia Rodrigo? And it's because she sounds like Paramore. It's because she sounds like fucking Paramore. So I think that TXT's strategy of going to that audience is a good one. And it's a good way to challenge, because like I said, it's like Butter is not really a song that, I don't know, I don't think that it has the same appeal. So that's what I would do, is I would, my strategy would be like, how can we share ourselves more? How can we be more vulnerable, give more access, bring people to the stories? Like, I would totally, if there was a story, like have one of the members make a song that was about a very specific breakup in their lives and be really specific and honest and share it. I think that that's a good way to do it. And especially if you build that into your marketing around your K-pop band early, I think it could work. Because one of the issues of like bands that are like, for example, BTS, that exists now and might want to do something personal, is that they've already built up the boyfriend experience, so it's hard to go back. But if you start like Olivia did, here's the tea, here's the relationship, it could be different. I also think, my humble opinion, is that the band that could have success similar to BTS is not a boy band. I think it might be a girl band. And I didn't think that before. But then I was thinking about all the songs that I really like and the ones that are like bangers lately, and they're all girl groups. And I just feel like the next generation is going to be less susceptible to the boyfriend experience. And it's going to be more about women empowerment, just a guess. But yeah, so I was just like, well, is EXO going to change up their formula in a really specific way, or try to soften, or try to like be more vulnerable in a way? But I don't know if a band like EXO could do it, because there's so much controversy. I don't know anything about EXO, but I know all about the tea, right? Like one of the members' girlfriend was like, you've been fucking a bunch of like stewardess and actors and idols and everyone. I think that's funny. Of course he has. I don't understand. Why would anybody, like, you don't date an idol, you just want to be a member of their roster. I think somebody asked me that. They're like, oh, do you want to marry Namjoon? I was like, fuck no, I don't want to marry Namjoon. I don't even want to date Namjoon. That sounds fucking horrible. I would want to be a member on his roster and then put him back. You know what I mean? Dating an idol must be terrible. It must be awful. I don't know why anybody would do it. Just be somebody that he, I guess I'm revealing too much about myself. But it's gonna be somebody that he like hangs out with and hooks up with, and he can be that for you. It's perfect. I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. So that's my thoughts about EXO, but also my thoughts about TXT, I guess, too. But yeah, I really, really like the album. My friend was like, she sent me the music video and was like, they're so hot. Or God, what's his name? The one. The Virgo, I forget his name, I was talking about how hot he is and how he's just like the hottest thing in the world. And I was like, I don't know, I don't feel anything. And I think like objectively he's very handsome, and I could see why he's very popular, but it's not my thing. I feel like the energy is just too, it's I don't know. And I know a lot of you guys message me, you guys really like him. Like my younger grown-ass army loves TXT. And so, yeah, I listened to the album. I fucking love it. They do nothing but bangers. It's also very interesting how, by the way, if I sound different, I have a new mic And like, what's cool about this mic is that it's handheld. Love TXT. Love the members. Oh, one thing I think is interesting is how like they're starting off like this versus BTS started. So like something that people are always saying is that like TXT is really following in BTS's path, but not necessarily, because I feel like TXT is not having like very much of a hip hop stage. They're not really like a rap group ever and probably will never be. They're kind of diving into other genres very quickly. I heard that Namjoon produced one of the songs. I just love it. I think the album is great. They're really good at what they do. The like, again, I've said this a million times, is that like, okay, what part of the big hit formula can we trust to be repeated? And I would say the bangers, the songs, and their ability to produce good music is probably the biggest marker. It's like the one thing that I would say is repeatable, can be reproduced with success, is that they will reliably, I feel like, I know that Bang is a part of that process of like picking songs and stuff like that, and I think he does have a good eye and ear for that stuff, so their songs will always be good, will always be bangers, and I appreciate that about them. I sure do appreciate that about them. So yeah, stan TXT for Clear Skin. Okay. All right, so let's do questions. And a lot of these questions are kind of old, but I want to answer them, or comments and stuff like that. So the first comment that I got was about how one of you guys was like, oh, I'm waiting for BTS to like hit their Lemonade era, and was thinking about Beyonce. And I 100% agree. I 100% agree. I was also thinking Rihanna. I feel like a lot of artists, maybe not the, like a lot of the artists that have been around for a while have kind of divested in the Billboard system and stuff like that. I think artists that have comparable success as far as like monetarily have divested in the system a lot more, because why, you know, and have really kind of had the boxes moment that I talk about. And so I also am waiting for that moment where BTS is like, but again, like that moment is scary. Not to be too personal, but I'm like in this moment now with my business career, and like where there's this moment where you just are like, how much more can I go down this road? What before you need to turn a different direction? But the idea of turning, so like for example, for my business, I've been going one direction, one direction, that love makes me beautiful. And if you're, I've been going one direction for a while, for almost 10 years now. And I've been putting off this idea of changing directions or like pursuing certain things that are like really on the other side of a situation that has reached its natural end or its peak. I feel like I'm somebody who helps people start their own businesses, and I'm like, oh, this is possible. But like some of the stuff I want to do, I'm still like, I have to do these things. And so I wonder if it's similar for BTS, where you kind of put it off by like, again, you create these new challenges with that's on the path that you're currently on, while you're avoiding these other paths that it might be time to go on. So I am curious to see what happens. I think that for somebody like Beyonce or Rihanna, when they reach the same point, or I mean, Drake kind of, but like Beyonce and Rihanna, Beyonce specifically, when you reach that period or you reach that kind of thing, her turn was an artistic one, right? So like she started making decisions and albums and stuff like that, that kind of represented what she really wanted to represent and took ownership over her career in a way that's really inspirational. And so, but BTS is a product of the K-pop system, and something that's valued very highly within that system is productivity. So you can't necessarily do what Rihanna has done, which is take a 5-year break to create a $1 billion brand. But so there's that. So I 100% agree. Another question I got was like, do you ever have any non-sexual fantasies about the group members? It was from somebody who said that they can't really picture one of the BTS members falling in love with them because they're too realistic. So what does that look like? Absolutely. I absolutely do. Like one of my favorite fantasies right now is is like me being like a strategist, or I really just want to talk to Namjoon about what's happening, all the stuff that's going on. That's like my like chief fantasy at the moment is like sitting Namjoon down and be like, okay, let's, I feel like I've said this before on the show. Have we answered this question before? It's been so long. But yeah, that's like the biggest one is that the original poster was like, you know, I want to go skydiving with JK. And I feel for Namjoon, I want to sit down and drink waters because I don't like coffee and just talk. I just want to talk to him about a bunch of different stuff. So that's like my Namjoon fantasy. I want to take JK to get good tattoos, like tattoos that are like really good. So yeah, I totally have those. I just want to, I feel like one thing I was like, Tae would love Long Beach. So I just want to like take him around Long Beach, take him down like the thrift store row and hang out. So I have stuff like that. But I feel like the biggest one lately has definitely been like me talking to Namjoon or like me kind of like working for Big Hit. And that's something I thought I would never do. But with a lot of the conversations I've been having lately, that's become like a big fantasy of mine for sure. And so another thing that a lot of you guys commented on is like the Olivia Rodrigo BTS strategy thing. It's so funny because all of this has escalated since then. And a lot of the conversations around, gosh, what does BTS success mean? How successful are they with the, it's been really, really interesting. I'm not sure. I don't have a good read on how popular Butter is. Obviously it's gotten number one 2 weeks in a row, so it must be pretty popular, but I don't ever hear it. But I also am not on the radio. So yeah, I still think that Olivia Rodrigo's album and song seems to have a lot more like general public buzz on it, but does that even matter? I don't know. I bet, you know what, I'm sure the BTS members like Olivia Rodrigo. I feel like they would like her music, especially JK. But yeah, it does. It's like there's a lot of really interesting conversations going on around BTS. I feel like a lot of the media has gotten really brave. And I think it's because of the threat that BTS poses. Dynamite didn't meet much resistance. I feel like while a lot of people were like, this is a stupid song, they're like, it's just what we need at this time. Even though it's a stupid song. I like Dynamite, so whatever. But I feel like this time around, I'm seeing a lot of negative stuff said about Butter. Like a lot of these journalists and stuff have gotten real brave and they're just like, and I think it's like that they're fighting for their lives. I think a lot of them feel like the BTS system compromises the chart system and stuff like that because of the reasons I talked about or whatever. Or I haven't talked about this here about how, what is the real read on the popularity of the songs or the popularity of BTS when you have an audience as engaged as BTS is and an audience that feels as much of a responsibility to the success of the artist that BTS does. There's nobody else has that. I don't know. I think it's like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, I think that whatever people want to do, I don't think it takes away from the success at all, but it does make the branding. When we talk about Grammys and whether or not they're going to get the Grammy, I do think that conversations like that are going to hurt their chances. And I wonder if they have perceived of that, of this idea of, I don't know if it's gaming the system. I think that's what people are saying. It's, oh, they game the system. I don't think you can game the system that much. I also saw some statistics about the radio play looks good. So I don't know. It's really weird. It's a weird phenomenon because the fact that ARMY are sending flowers to DJs and stuff like that. I don't know. But yeah, I think some of my critiques of the whole thing still stand as far as I just don't know how long we can do this as ARMY, as BTS. Like, I think people are gonna get tired, and I wonder if people are getting tired already. Every single time they release a song, we're gonna have to like do these big pushes and all this. It's like really intense. So I'm curious what will happen next and how the industry will perceive BTS after this. Because, yeah, I've never seen so much bad press around BTS than with Butter. There's just a lot of, I think the industry is fighting against BTS. Like, I think they've, especially with the big purchases and stuff like that, I think, and then the outsider status, I think people are viewing BTS more of a threat now. And you see it everywhere. Like, even like, you see the Spotify playlists and stuff like that in the lists. And even though Butter is like number one the last 2 weeks, the cover is Olivia Rodrigo and Butter is like 10 songs down. It's getting definitely political. And it's interesting because I think that's just going to make ARMY even more passionate about it. I don't, you know, how I'm just stating the facts. I feel like I'm coming off as a hater, like a BTS anti, and I'm obviously not. I fucking love BTS. I'm just like reflecting on everything and take everything from like a big picture perspective. And that's just what I see. So I think that's it for today. Welcome back to the podcast, guys. I hope you like it. Make sure you send questions. I know a lot of you send comments, but if you have a question to let me know, I am going to really be on top of questions moving forward. And especially since I need to record a bunch of episodes in quarantine so that when I'm traveling and doing my thing, you guys still have episodes. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye. Time's up, nigga, pass me another contestant. Oh, move to the left if you ain't about Betty. Done talk through three or four songs already. Looking at a nigga with your palm out. Bitch, I ain't even seen you dance. Twerk something, baby. Twerk something, baby. Pop your foot on the pole, do your thing, baby. Slide down there, bitch, a little.